Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, with me in studio today. Shane, good afternoon. How are things?
Great, thanks, Andy.
087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number if you have maternity or fertility questions for Shane today. We're going to chat, though, about preterm birth. What is that, first of all, Shane?
Well, it relates to any birth that takes place before 37 weeks gestational age. And I suppose with the advances that have been made in neonatal care in particular, we're now looking after babies and resuscitating babies that are born as early as 23 weeks. Now, that there's a lot of risk associated with being born at 23 weeks, so it's a very difficult course for the babies. They spend a lot of time in the neonatal intensive care unit. So we can look at it from two perspectives, the advances that have been made to help keep these babies alive, but also what are we doing to try and prevent it from happening? And that's the kind of the area that I have an interest in. And we have a clinic in the National Maternity Hospital, which was established in 2012, based on a model that I came across in Melbourne for monitoring patients who are deemed at risk. And who are those patients? Well, there's three groups of patients that we would be particularly interested in monitoring. Those that have had a previous preterm birth. And the earlier the preterm birth, the more important it is for them to get into a surveillance program. Those patients who were born with a congenital anomaly of their uterus, and that ranges from anything from a septum in their uterus to have a double uterus, a double cervix, double vagina. And they're rare, but they do increase your risk of delivering a baby prematurely. And then the third group are those patients who've had two or more surgical procedures on their cervix, like a comb biopsy or a LETS. So they're all at risk of delivering a baby prematurely in a subsequent pregnancy.
How common is this?
Well, about 10% of babies will be born prematurely. And if you've had a preterm birth in your previous pregnancy, you've got a 30% risk of it happening in the next pregnancy. If you've had two, you have a 60% chance of it happening. So it's by no means certain that if you've had a preterm birth, that you'll have one again. But for those patients who have, we would certainly like to see them very frequently, measure the length of their cervix, do some swabs, treat them with various medications, perhaps use a stitch, which some patients may have come across in their own experience, to keep the cervix closed if there's a weakness of the cervix.
Well, would you have any idea early on, you know, so I suppose at what point in the pregnancy will it become apparent that you're likely to have a preterm birth?
Sadly, for patients who don't have any history, it may be the day that you actually labour. The moment that you actually go into labour might be your first indication that this is going to happen. And that can be hugely traumatic for patients because they come in, they don't know what they're coming in with, and suddenly there's a baby delivered, and that baby needs significant intensive care for our neonatal colleagues. So there can often be very little or no forewarning. But if you do have anything that might indicate that it's imminent, like pressure in your pelvis, the loss of your mucus plug very early in the pregnancy, because that doesn't happen until typically really late, just before you go into labour. So if you're starting to lose mucus, if you're getting a lot of pressure in your pelvis, it's probably worth going to your healthcare provider.
Will there be any signs from any of the scans? Or you'll have had your 20-week scan at this stage. So
routinely,
I've heard people talk about the head size. Is that a
no? So that's the small babies are a problem in themselves, but it's not necessarily an indication that you'll deliver early. The cervical length, there's an inverse relationship between the length of the cervix and the risk of preterm birth. And only patients who have a history that I've mentioned, one of the three groups of patients that we're interested in, do we actually measure the length of the cervix. But a cervix less than about 2.5 centimetres in and around that 20 to 24 weeks is a significant predictor of preterm birth. So we would be interested in that, but we don't, and no maternity unit routinely checks the length of the cervix on their patients.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number, if you've a question for Shane Higgins about this today. So in terms of things you can do to prevent it, you mentioned the insertion of a stitch.
Yeah. There's two stitches, but the one that we very commonly use is called the McDonald's cerclage. And it's just a stitch. And those of you that are old enough to remember a purse string, it's put in around the cervix, tied tight. Now, it's very specifically for a condition called cervical incompetence, which is either an acquired or an inherited weakness of your cervix. And if a patient who has an abnormality in their uterus, or a patient who've had surgery on their cervix, they'd be the groups of patients that we would be monitoring the length of their cervix every couple of weeks to see if it's shortening, and if it is, then is there an opportunity for a stitch. The other medication that we use typically is progesterone pessaries to help keep the uterus quiet and not active and not irritable, which again is a reason. Mm. But one of the studies that we're doing in the hospital at the moment is looking at what bacteria in the vagina might be more commonly associated with preterm birth. And we have done some studies in conjunction with UCC where we've looked at the vaginal microbiome. And now, having identified a possible organism, we're now trying to use probiotics to see if we can alter the vaginal microbiome to reduce the risk right. for patients. So it's a lot of very good research yeah. being done in that area as well.
You mentioned, you know, obviously a preterm baby and the time that's spent then in yeah. The neonatal unit clinics and all of that afterwards. How dangerous is it for mum?
Well, I suppose there are a proportion of preterm births that are related to infection within the uterus. And if your waters break, and the baby's still in utero, then there's a significant risk of ascending infection, bacteria from the vagina getting into the uterus, causing a condition called chorioamnionitis. And that can be quite significant and quite a significant risk for mom. But that's something that we're really vigilant about looking out for and treating aggressively with antibiotics. And if it does appear to be the case that an infection is setting in, then we would advocate for the delivery of the baby, regardless of the gestational age.
With the preterm birth, is it, you know, if once that starts, is it straight to cesarean section?
No. If the baby's coming head first, if there's no reason not to have a cesarean section, so if somebody's had previous cesarean sections, there might be a contraindication to a vaginal birth. But no, we would anticipate, and often these patients labour very well, very effectively, very quickly. So a vaginal birth would be a preference, and that's what we would go for.
Even at 28 weeks?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Very much so.
Listener here, Shane, I'm due twins this December. I've had two single children previously. Is it likely I'll go into early labour with twins?
Well, that's a very good question. There is an inherent risk of delivering prematurely with twins. So there is a risk just by virtue of the fact that you're having twins. And when I worked in Melbourne, we used to use this statement to patients where we'd say 50% are born by cesarean section and 50% are born prematurely.
Of twin birth.
Of twins, yeah. But it would appear in Ireland that we don't have that same preterm birth rate with twins as there might be in other parts of the world. And in fact, our overall preterm birth rate is slightly less than other countries. So less than 50% of twin pregnancies are born before the gestational age at which we would plan to deliver them. And depending on the type of twin that you have, whether it's identical, non-identical, sharing the same sac, we would deliver those babies at different gestational ages. So so dichorionic twins, non-identical, we deliver at 38 weeks. Identical twins, we deliver at 36. Twins sharing the same sac, we deliver at 32 to 34 weeks. So That's the kind of the term gestational age for those different types of twins.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number for your questions for Professor Shane Higgins. Whether the baby's born between 28 to 32 weeks of pregnancy, what sort of special need or special care are we talking about?
So I suppose babies born that are less than 2.5 kilos will end up going to the nursery, regardless of their gestational age. Babies that are born prematurely will often spend the time from when they're born to a corrected gestational age of 36 weeks in the nursery. So if you're born at 28 weeks, you can expect to be 6 to 8 weeks in the nursery. If you're born at 32 weeks, it might be 4 weeks. So it's typically the age at which they graduate out of the neonatal nursery, whether it's NICU or special care, is about 36 weeks.
Listeners wondering, what do you mean by twins sharing the same sac?
So twins that are conceived with a single egg or from a single egg can often be two twins in one sac, as opposed to a twin each in their own sac. And they're what's referred to as monochorionic, monoamniotic twins. And the big risk with that type of twins, one of the risks, is that they're sharing the same, essentially, swimming pool, and they can get tangled in each other's cords. And that's a risk for that particular type of twins. So there's no barrier between the twins. So that's essentially what it means. Mono, as we call them.
Listener mentions breathing issues, breathing difficulties that they feel they have about 20-odd weeks pregnant. Is this a sign of a preterm, or what should I do?
So, as the uterus grows and extends, it displaces everything in the abdomen out of its way. So you're getting a lot of pressure on the diaphragm, you're getting a lot of splinting of the diaphragm. But patients do feel short of breath in pregnancy anyway, and sometimes they're aware of it and sometimes they're not. This is resetting the respiratory center in your brain to a lower level of CO2. Because by you keeping your CO2 level by apparently appearing to be out of breath, but essentially you're just blowing off CO2, you make it easier for the baby to get rid of its CO2 across the placenta. So it's a protective mechanism to help the baby in its environment.
Okay, Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live for this Wednesday afternoon's Making Babies. If there's any particular topic you'd like Shane to address, he'll be here every Wednesday, 20 to 1. The email, if you'd like to get in touch, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.